Welcome to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger, quote-unquote, live from AFK Con 2016 here at the Holiday Inn in Guelph, Ontario.
It's great to be back.
Woo! We're here for our second year in a row, and we watched an equally distressing show.
That is
debatable. That rhymed.
And I'm here for once, yeah.
That's debatable.
A lot of people are here for once.
Yeah. We've got probably the most full panel of Cast Rangers had so far.
And a female.
Hi.
Whoa! Ah. What? Ah.
Besides Lane.
Oh. Oh, Lane.
Yeah, it's the first time ever that there's a female in Cast Rangers.
Not the first time ever, but the first time live.
First time live, yes.
That said, despite all of us being here, I feel like there's something missing.
Kevin!
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 We forgot Kevin.
Wait,
we did it again!
We forgot him at home!
He's too busy playing Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Actually, the truth.
Actually
legit.
Now that is a fact.
Yeah.
Before we get into the podcast proper, I'm just going to give a couple shout-outs to a few other...
We should all just introduce ourselves one by one, as our tradition is. In Sentai,
you hate other people, don't you, H?
A little bit.
Okay, makes sense.
In order, go!
Would have made more sense if we were actually in order, but Redcaster, Joe Raven.
Bluecaster, Ishida Zazil.
Pinkcaster, Lightshed, hello.
Greencaster, Zenshin.
Yellowcaster, Autogar.
Cyancaster, Arcadia.
Northcaster, Saga.
And
we're the Cast Rangers.
Cast Ranger.
On air.
Yes,
it'll
yes.
play a roll call on the podcast.
We're too lazy for the roll call.
You're too lazy. I'm the one who's sick and hasn't slept, and I want to do it.
Cue the roll call.
Okay, so.
We just did it.
For those
most half-assed roll call in history.
Yay.
For those who don't know who we are a weekly podcast talking about the ongoing Kamen Rider and Super Sentai shows, which, if you don't know what they are, they're basically the Japanese Power Rangers. And we talk about those shows and other shows like it.
As I like to say, we talk toku.
We talk about shows in which grown-ass adults dress up in unitards and wear helmets and go off and pretend they're fighting crime.
And boom, and kaboosh, and
that too.
It's the weirdest porno you'll ever watch, but, like, it's for real, man.
You can find every episode on porn.
And just like porn, you'll feel pretty bad after watching
it. Totally, for different reasons.
Oh.
Should I go into this one?
Well,
because, you know, we like to give shout-outs to other people who are, you know, they try to go to these cons and get their names known as well, so we decide we'll help them out a little. We got two again. First, we got Fantascapes. They make escape rooms in Guelph. Cool idea. I think that's really neat. You can check them out at www.fantascapes.com. And also, we got here at AFK Con Hamilton Ball Pythons. They're really cool. They do adoption for reptiles and spiders and such.
They were here last year as well. We have some video with them.
They're really cool.
They only got the cutest snakes, man. Really, like, I always go there and I'm just like, I really, really want one of your snakes.
Several tried to kill me. No.
Because they failed. He's still here.
We left him in a pit with them.
I left them a $10 bill to do it, too.
This is why Lane's here this time.
So, Fantascapes and Hamilton Ball Python. Check them out.
Sick. Great.
Anyway, on to the episode proper. Yes. What did we watch?
So,
the weirdest shit ever.
Because our convention specials tend to focus on the American tokusatsu shows, I thought an interesting piece to revisit from our childhoods would be one of the more obscure series, I'd say.
Turn off your
phone.
God
damn it, EJ!
Every time!
I thought
every
I did, fucking I just pushed the wrong button. So
put it away before
this is why I
take
I just
it
keep
away.
My phone on silent 24/7.
Yeah.
We watched Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. Say that 10 times fast. Don't any of you dare.
Damn it.
Super Samurai Cyber.
I'll kill you.
Better. Better challenge. Sing it 10 times.
No.
Alright, shut up.
Cyber Squad. Cyber Squad.
Oh. Every.
I'm making one of your attacks in the video game Pen Throw.
In a nice little contrast to last time, all of these dork sticks didn't like the show, and I still think it's pretty great.
Okay, I was up for it.
I thought it was okay.
No,
I was going into it.
Pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, I was hyped for it when I was a kid.
I liked it.
I can't say it was any worse than anything else.
No, right?
Before we get into it, we should mention what it's based on.
Okay, what's it based on?
It's basically Super Rider Productions. They had a separate show out of their Ultra series called Den... Something Gridman.
Den Cold.
I love Something Gridman.
Yes.
Oh, Raven's got the gummy bag.
Wait, Paul. What is it?
Denko Chojin Gridman.
Okay.
Or just Gridman.
Digital sure. Ultraman.
It's literally yeah. Ultraman if you were Digimon.
And they, pretty much. They were going to have a sequel series based on it, but the show wasn't really that popular.
You don't say!
Yes.
And that's why we had the OVA in 2014.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Talk about hitting when the iron's hot. Yeah. So yeah, they as it was popular at the time, you know, hey, let's take something Japanese and we'll Americanize it. This
God,
isn't
did they?
This isn't a Saban effort though. This is
Dick Entertainment.
Dick.
Dick.
Come on.
Dick. Stop saying Dick.
It's Dick. Come on.
We will never. Are you asking? Are you asking someone on this podcast to stop saying Dick?
Okay, Gar.
Do you realize the gravity of that request?
Can we please remember that it dubbed that Dick dubbed Sailor Moon? So let's not say that.
Dick is that supposed to dissuade us?
Although it makes all of the sense now.
I know, but we don't want to. Come
Sailor
on,
Moon
fond
says.
Memories, guys. Sailor Moon says, produced by Dick.
Fucking dicks.
I also just want to point out something. If anyone noticed, my voice is odd because I've been sick the last couple days.
I think people just think your voice is odd in general.
Oh, well, yeah, but odd for different reasons.
Oh, I guess. So, yeah, not made by Saban, made by Deke. And, well, ironically, this one probably had, out of all the Americanized tokusatsus, the most star power. It had the kid. What's his name? Matt Lattner?
Matthew Lawrence.
Oh. Matthew Lawrence.
No, it's the whiny son from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. But he's also from the show Brotherly Love that starred the
and
other two Lawrence brothers.
World.
And Boy Meets World.
And Boy Meets World.
And
oh my God, that's where I know that guy from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other big name in this, the main villain, is voiced by Tim Curry.
Kilo Khan!
Although, I have to say, he wasn't Tim Currying it up.
Which is a shame, because I feel like this is the show to do that.
Yeah, but I feel like he actually gave it up. But that's the thing about Tim Curry. He tried to be professional.
I'm sorry, Sal. There was a point in which this actually was said by Tim Curry. Sir, what do you want? I'm just like, no, I saw Frankenfurter behind that.
Oh, no, there is. It is definitely there. I'm just saying I was half expecting him to just be, like, rolling his tongue around in the back of his skull at all times.
I'm just sweet dot transvestite / transsexual dot Transylvania.
Oh, dear God.
Dot HTML.
Dot EXE.
So,
execute that file.
So what's the premise of this show?
So,
boy wants to
Matthew
bang
Lawrence
girl.
Wants to get laid.
Yeah, Matthew,
correct.
Okay,
it's literally about two guys fighting over a girl, and they're both creepy in their own right.
One of them teams up with a fucking super virus from the internet, and the other becomes a superhero
on the internet.
Yeah, but the main hero also his three best friends and him they have a rock band.
There was something about
because
a government,
90s.
Yeah, yeah
there was actually, also something about a government developed program in there
that they somehow got access to.
So basically, in his jealous, evil, rage, he meets up with Kilo Khan and he starts saying, oh, I've got viruses, and I can bring viruses to life.
No,
do it.
From the digital
and
world.
Somehow get me the girl.
No, I
this
think
this was all to block a phone call. One little phone call.
I think the way it worked is Malcolm was always drawing, so he had all these drawings of monsters, and Kilo Khan had viruses that he would put into these goddamn MS Paint drawings and turn them into digital monsters.
Oh my God.
And send them into the phone computers.
And they certainly weren't the champions.
Was this,
No, they were ultimate.
Wait.
Nailed it.
This was before Beetleborgs, right?
No, this was around the same time.
No, Beetleborgs.
No, 94.
Yeah. So, yeah, Beetleborgs
was
officially unoriginal in terms of villains.
Was it before Digimon?
How?
Definitely.
I think so.
Beetleborgs unoriginal?
I know. No, think about it, though. The Beetleborgs, that's how the monsters got made, was through drawings in Beetleborgs.
Oh.
So,
personally, I think Beetleborgs did that better.
No.
They both did it shite.
Guys, how is it that I remember, like, this weird stuff, but I don't remember like the Beetleborgs thing.
Don't worry about it.
You don't need to.
At least when Beetleborgs brought drawings to life, they weren't shitty MS Paint drawings. They were actual comic book art.
They could have used Pixel Kids.
Mario Paint.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what it looked like.
Microsoft Paint.
Just evil, very oddly colored Yoshi.
Yes.
Can I just... Can I just say that the villain kid, Malcolm, that's his name?
Malcolm Frank.
He was the best thing.
He'll make you think.
He was the best thing about this show. Just because this kid, like, there was no subtlety in his performance at all. He just went for the jugular on everything.
He's trying to out Tim Curry.
And he's doing a decent job of it.
Now Sam will never talk to Jennifer.
His entire plan in the first episode is he heard that the main kid, what's his name?
Sam.
Is going to call the girl. So what's the this is the reason he becomes a supervillain, so he can try to disconnect their phone call. That's the plot. That's the plot.
That's how it starts.
That's what that's what summons the curry.
By the way, we should mention that the method through which Sam gets Jennifer's cell phone number is actually amazing.
How did he do it?
Okay. Take the age.
He had her do like a math
your
trick,
weight,
like
your phone
I'll
number,
guess the
number divided by 2, it's 73. It's 100. Toss his paper away.
I'm only 3 digits off.
Oh, I was
but
off.
Yeah, he had her do like a series of math equations. It's one of those like, oh, do this order of operations and I'll guess the number.
And her phone number was one of those numbers, so she wrote it down.
So our protagonist is a person who utilizes trickery in order to get romantic affections from women.
Our hero!
Because the 90s, you see.
Should we talk about the scene where he almost gets arrested?
Oh,
that's episode 2.
No, the most important part of the first episode, obviously, was the motorcycle obsessed lunch lady.
Oh my god!
We spend
all of you leave Mrs. Starkey alone. Mrs. Starkey is love. Mrs. Starkey is life. She's like Berta before Berta was Berta. I'm almost convinced she is a young Berta.
This is proof that lunch ladies can be cool and not creepy.
Is it?
Here's the thing. I feel like for that time, having an old lady who's into motorcycles be portrayed on TV would be progressive.
It was, but did we need to see it for 5 minutes?
It was so amazingly unimportant in the quote-unquote grand scale of this show that they spent way too much time on it.
You know, I hate saying it like this, but yeah, Power Rangers did it better. Ernie, he owns the juice bar. We don't need to know about his hobbies.
At least not in the first episode. I feel like all that, if it was spread into a filler episode, would have been way better. We don't need to know about her in the first episode.
But just saying, in most episodes, we do get a Mrs. Starkey story, so that kind of happens a lot.
I'm guessing it's based off they didn't have enough footage to use or something.
Yeah, it's a little...
Hey, old lady, tell us a story.
In the end, it's character... It's
in
character
my day...
Tell us a story,
you know
Grandma Raven.
In the end, it's good thinking. They're like, we're going to develop all the characters, but that character is irrelevant. And so it's like...
Maybe we should
character development, sure, but develop your protagonists more.
Plot twist. The lunch lady is the sixth ranger.
No, she's not.
God, I hope not.
She was the gold seal ranger.
She becomes a motorcycle!
She becomes the ultimate mech for him to survive. It is a motorcycle.
Guardians on motorcycles.
Oh God in heaven!
Just imagine her fucking land samurai guys.
All right, let's talk about some of the aspects of the show. What do you guys think of the song?
The theme song?
Yeah,
it reminds me a lot of the Mega Man theme song.
It's 90s as fuck, and I love it.
Yeah, that guitar riff.
Annoying,
in the
but so good.
I liked it too. I got to be honest. It had a nice Superhuman Samurai. It's what it is.
It's better than VR
song as
every.
Title.
But then what isn't?
Everything is better than VR.
And here's the thing: I mentioned this during our live riff, but I must have been self-delusional when I watched this show in the 90s because I could have sworn on my children's lives. That the end of the song went Superhuman Samurai Seven Squad.
From now on, you know what we're gonna say. I swear on Gar's life.
Sorry,
the toy commercials did that.
They did.
Yeah,
I'm not crazy.
No,
you are. But that's
oh my god,
a couple of the toy commercials did that.
Itchy.
Cue the toy commercial.
Crash into the digital world. Servo, look out! Megavirus monsters! Xenon, samurai with Servo to become Superhuman Samurai Synchro. Way to fry us, circuits! Servo, they're back! Drago, samurai with Servo to become Superhuman Samurai Formo! That megavirus monster is micronized! Deluxe Servo, Deluxe Drago, and Deluxe Xenon. Samurized for your protection.
Superhuman Samurai! Cyber Squad!
Itchy,
I'm actually
crazy,
putting
but that's
in
another story.
Sorry?
You are crazy, but that's another story.
Yes, so
we're all
right
crazy.
Not now.
Okay.
Not the first episode.
Okay, so theme song we got down. What do you guys think of the suit?
I like it.
I do.
I like that it has a mouth.
It is Ultraman plus armor.
See, I like Japanese footage.
Yeah, like, see, the thing is, I can't get over the fact of how much of a ripoff it is of everything. Like, it is a ripoff of, like, it's take Ultraman and put him in a Gundam.
On that point, wasn't it made by the same guys as Ultraman?
Yes.
Was it? Super Aya Productions.
Yeah, Super Aya Productions. They made Ultraman.
Okay.
At very least, if they were stealing from something, it was themselves.
No, like, they tried to, like, again, the whole entire point of Gridman was to... Let's try and stay away from giant monsters. Let's go with the internet giant monsters.
Yeah, giant monsters on the internet.
It'll
sell.
It was like a Hibiki type thing. Yeah. It wasn't meant to be a rider, but...
Oh, I see.
You know, I loved how... And one of the people who was watching this with us brought this up, because he came in a little late. He's like, is no one really bringing up how these buildings are being destroyed? To which we say, well, actually, it takes place in the internet. In an actual computer.
On the phone. Absolutely no lives are at stake.
Exactly. Like, what does this matter? Like, okay, now granted, in like, Toku, you know, they tend to not, like, actually go into how many people are in those buildings.
Oh, no, the abandoned warehouse district.
Exactly.
I saw that parachute.
One of my favorites ever was, I forget which season of Rangers it was, but as a monster smashing a building, he goes, I hate empty buildings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look, I can see their parachutes. They're okay.
Yeah. Too bad it's Sunday.
Too bad it's Sunday.
Those buildings would be filled tomorrow.
Just you wait till it grows back.
Your father was a brilliant scientist.
What?
We have too much time.
We're making way too many Dragon Ball Z references.
There can
right
never
now
be enough.
Yeah.
My name is a Dragon Ball Z reference.
Shush.
He's right.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Too bad it's Sunday.
I okay just said that.
It is a Sunday.
It is Sunday!
Oh my god, we connected it!
What I love about Malcolm, though, was, like...
Everything?
No.
I loved everything.
I really enjoyed where, like, he kind of sassed Kilo Kung's. He's like, oh, if you're so, like, powerful, why don't you do it yourself? Ah, I can't freeze at all. You're not so great, are you?
One of my favorite Malcolm Frink sasses is, like, he actually winds up telling Kilo Kong to shush at one point to keep it down so his mother wouldn't wake up, and Kilo Kong just goes, I am Kilo Kong, overlord of the digital world. I do not shh.
Or he just hissed at Malcolm and that's
a no, it was that was a Tim Curry, yes.
So let's talk about Kilo Kun and
yes
his design.
Oh, it's cool.
AKA best Toku villain of all
that's
time.
I actually like the design.
Yeah.
I love how the instant we all saw him, we were all like, it's a Super Shredder!
It does.
It's
he's
a Cyber Shredder.
He's got the head, like, the I like how the wires look like a mustache.
Yeah.
Kind of. The mouth was cool.
And yeah, he had like a bunch of things for the mouth.
Yeah, he had a bunch
always,
of red
I
dots
always,
that approximated
I,
mouth.
I always
movements
love in any Toku sort of anything when a mouth is given more than just its flat mouth, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I always said one of my favorite villains ever in any Toku was Mesagog from Dino Thunder, because he had an articulated mouth.
Yeah.
This was an interesting idea. The lights. It was neat.
For him to be a villain made of the internet, I think that was a good choice.
One of the funniest part, though?
What?
He's actually the villain in Gridman.
Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, no, that's it.
It's
the footage of Kilo Kong was the Japanese footage of the main villain.
Oh, yeah, they do that a lot.
On a lot of time, yeah.
But no, just
that
like the
my
design
god
of him looks so like the American.
That moment where Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad had more episodes than its original source material.
Well,
yeah,
when you spend
yeah
10 minutes every episode talking about the lunch lady stuff,
no,
Gridman
but,
was
no
39.
You can stretch anything.
Gridman was 39 episodes. Cyber Squad was 53,
which means they must have reused some of that footage.
Yeah,
at some point.
Which,
yeah,
let's
they
be honest,
did
the villain footage
you
was always just this.
Like, did you? Yeah. Did you see like
I was,
how much reused footage there was in episode 2?
I'm honestly expecting you know, Tim Curry, Khan, whatever. To just start going like this.
Hey, Jay, please read the name of the Gridman villain, please.
Lord, you fuck me.
Thanks for ruining the joke.
Wait.
And thank you for ruining the joke, Lane.
So, Kilo Khan's Japanese counterpart is called the Dark Lord Khan Digifer.
Okay.
That,
nowhere. Wow, just, Kilo Khan's better.
I am the Dark person. Lord Khan.
Digifa.
I gotta say, especially coming off of Masked Rider.
No. Oh, crap. There had to have been a moment in the Japanese where someone just sat there yelling, Khan!
I was gonna say, too, like, especially coming off of a Masked Rider, which, like, it was the weird realization of, like, that is all Digimon music. In this, which it does again predate Digimon, to just have them say, welcome to the digital world, and like, all, I am the emperor of the digital world, like, all that.
Yeah.
It's just like, digitize.
Yep.
Can you digitize me, Sid? Sure thing, Sam.
The samurais, guys.
I did love how, like, they're going with the whole thing of, like, oh, these are teenagers. One of them is clearly in his late 20s.
Yep.
Yes.
And how old did you say the kid who played Malcolm was?
He was like 24, 25.
Jesus.
He's like 47 now. What? So.
I will destroy you.
He looks fucking 16.
For me, the creepiest... You never crossed me, Sam.
I'm just imagining the fact that one day Malcolm Frink grew up to become Hannibal Lecter. And so it's just one day. Anthony Hopkins is just in his prison cell. It's just the one guy that he flips out for. It's like, Collins! Curse you! I wanted that chick in high school. I'll devour you.
That's Jeremy Irons.
No, I know, but I can't do that.
So, I'm just going to bring this up, even though we didn't get this far into the show today. Yeah. Didn't Malcolm become a good guy by the end of the series?
Yes, yeah. At one point, he even tried to be Servo when Sam got into a coma.
Wow.
Went to a coma?
He actually develops a bit of a conscience. Yeah.
Character development is fun.
He develops a very... He's the most well-developed character in the show. It's why he's one of my favorite characters. Okay,
look, and actually, that animation we mentioned during the riff, that Gridman anime thing that they teased at a freaking animation festival.
I remember
festival.
Reading about that. Yeah.
I've seen it a couple times. It's really good.
It is.
It's actually about him.
Yeah.
It's actually about Malcolm's Japanese counterpart.
Cool.
Oh.
And becoming the new hero.
We should watch that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Even though it's like 2 minutes.
So
it's essentially a music video recapping the Japanese series, plus some added footage for the end.
Yeah.
So the name of the actual hero here is Servo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. See, now I grew up watching Mystery Science Theater, so I can't hear anything go Servo without expecting them to start riffing a movie. Like, Tom Servo is one of my heroes.
Yeah, Tom Servo is amazing.
That's samurai.
And also, he kind of looks like him too. The same basic color scheme.
Oh, yeah.
He has the inspiration.
For me, the creepiest thing watching this just I know it's the 90s, but CRT monitors.
Ugh. Yeah, I saw combat computers, and I was like, whoa.
The funny thing is, there's one scene where, like, she's doing stuff on the computer, and looking at the camera angle, you can clearly see that the monitor is turned on at an angle far away enough that she can't actually see the screen.
Yes. Speaking of that, even though this is a toku show, like an American toku, it was, like, shot and blocked like a Disney sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, it had that look of it. Like, it looked like... What had you put it, Paul?
It kind of reminds me of That 70s Show.
Yeah, like, it had sitcom blocking.
Yeah.
It definitely looked like it was shot in a basement.
Definitely. Like, because, like, with, like, you know, American Tokyo, like a Power Rangers, or, like, anything Saban, really, there is a lot more moving cameras happening. Like, this was a lot of, like, place stuff.
Yeah.
All they're missing is a music video about how sad he is that he couldn't call Jennifer.
And the laugh track.
Yeah.
This looked like it was supposed to have a laugh track on it.
Like, you could see the laugh track.
This show was filmed live in front of a studio audience.
I wouldn't doubt it. All those pyrotechnics going on.
Because everyone has to sit through Lunch Lady Doris's motorcycle speech.
I want to see the episode in which Archie Bunker visits the school because Gloria's grand, like Gloria's children are going there too.
I want to see the episode where what's her name, the lunch lady?
Mrs. Starkey.
I want to see the episode where Mrs. Starkey, instead of talking about motorcycles, or she talks about how she and her battalion. On the USS Indianapolis, delivered the Hiroshima bomb, and then were surrounded by sharks
just
in the water.
No, but she does deliver a fantastic story about the one time she was in the circus as a human cannonball.
Oh, dear.
Just that story in a show based on Japanese footage.
You know we delivered the bomb.
You know what this show is missing?
Wow.
The pot circle,
yeah, that would have been...
It's like, what do we do with KiloCon? Just they're sitting around a circle coming up with plans.
Oh my god.
Burn!
Oh my god, we need to figure out what to do about KiloCon. It's only one thing to do, guys. What the fuck are we talking about? Oh, all right, the purple samurai.
There are these boats that run on air, man.
It's cars.
I got it.
That run on water.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Wait, wait, wait. They're like, I got it. Why don't we just unplug the computer?
That's brilliant.
Not on Broadway, more bitches.
And they go to an Amish village.
So if they had done that, there wouldn't have been any show.
Oh, I know. No. Here's how they defeat them. They update their windows.
Install Norton.
Malware.
Oh, that'll make it worse.
Yeah,
fight viruses with viruses.
Helocon is Norton.
Go on 4chan.
Oh. Yeah, there was this one scene.
Download Tor.
There was this one scene where like Servo was restoring buildings, and I was like, imagine if one of the buildings on the internet he restores just says 4chan. On
and then he would go and bend
like,
it over
just
himself.
Kick it over himself.
Actually, on that note, I have to say that was the one aspect, because I have to admit, even the Toku side of things, like the actual Japanese footage, it wasn't that good. The fight choreography wasn't great, and like,
except there was this one fight scene in episode 2 where Servo was dodging pretty good.
Yeah, that was great.
All right, maybe this was just early episode itis. I don't know, but
I'm gonna teach you how
but I was gonna say like the effects weren't great, the fighting wasn't great, but I liked the look of the internet world.
That's Tsuburaya for
it was neat. Like, I liked how everything kind of, like, it looked kind of like real world, just with, like, a cyberpunk edge to it all.
It was like the grid from Tron.
I mean, they made really good use of those catwalks.
I loved, you could see the scaffolding, but it kind of made sense because they're in a physical computer, right?
Yeah.
There would be a roof.
Yeah.
But I love to think that's how they rode around it. Was just like, well, no, there is no sky. We totally didn't forget to get rid of the scaffolding.
just like they're not actually like inside a digital form; they're just physically inside the computer fighting on the.
Which
motorboard.
Is like you open up. What the hell?
Yeah, you just see them.
You get the cleaning spray. Ah!
That's how we defeat Kilocon.
That's how you do it. Where is Kilocon?
The digital.
I guess inside Malcolm's computer. Is he inside Malcolm's computer?
I don't know.
I think so.
Okay, guys.
No, he's just Skyping.
It's implied that the tunnels that they ride through are wires.
Yeah.
So it is actually inside the tech.
Yeah.
But like they're more just they're depicting like the various like bumps and connectors on a motherboard or a circuit board as buildings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a tiny. They are very tiny, and they do ride along with energy sort of stuff, but at the same time, it's sort of like depicting the inside of the computer's city.
You know, sorry guys, you know what I love though? This was just our programming, kicking in when he first went into the digital world. All of us in unison, here we go!
Do you know what would be really funny if someone just takes the Digimon movie and takes Diaboromon and just dubs him over with Kilocon? I am the overlord of the digital world.
I just found something. You know how like every battle is like really gigantic, but they're in the digital world, so they could be like this tiny.
Oh, probably. Like
again, I like to think that like in the computers these are happening in. Like they're like, why are they smoking?
Yeah, just like Sydney opens up the computer and just like looks inside and you just see.
Aww.
All right, time to turn on the porn.
And it's just, no, like, Kilocon is just, like, having one of his, like, villain rants. Right, Malcolm, we will destroy. Like, the thing opens. What the hell is that? No, let me go.
Next!
I am Kilocon.
Tremble before me.
Baby!
You just pick him up by his cape. You put, and, like, a little kid finds him or something. And he puts him, in, like, in one of his jars and puts holes in the top.
No!
I'm Kilocon.
Someone needs to speed up Tim Curry's voice and just chipmunkify it.
Oh god, yes.
Speed.
Oh my god.
Hey, I mean, I could easily do that.
We should talk about the side characters.
We shouldn't.
No,
we really shouldn't.
Let's talk about.
We don't know enough.
Okay, you know what? I felt kind of bad when I realized that like the 29-year-old pretending to be a 17-year-old. Was dressed like me with the shirts and the two shirts.
At least you're not wearing flannel.
At least these aren't sleeveless. Although they're creeping up on there.
We have our own Regent sleeveless person over there.
Hey, my shirt has sleeves.
Just my coat doesn't.
Because he cut them off.
I chose this life.
Like a tacky motherfucker.
No,
I chose
the monsters are cool looking.
The monsters were.
But they're always cool looking.
Yeah, that's pretty
like
hard.
That's
pretty hard
what
to
Japan
fuck up a
does.
Monster.
They make good monster designs.
To what?
I don't know. I've seen some pretty fucking terrible Togemon.
Yeah, these ones were pretty good.
It does
look like Tsuburaya, where monsters first, heroes later.
It does look like in this show they actually did kind of look to more kaiju movies.
Yeah.
Than a Sentai or a Rider show.
Being an Ultraman production?
For sure. Like, the first monster that looked a lot like Anguirus from Godzilla. The second one, I want to say kind of like Mogera or
kind of,
or what's the one with the blade hands?
Oh, Gigan.
Gigan, that's it. Gigan. It kind of had a mix of those kind of feels. I don't know.
I don't know why, but there was a part in the second episode where Servo's trying to like hit the monster. And he kept, like, disappearing and teleporting on the other side, so I just put, like, a Pee Wee Herman voice to him. Just, over here! And also Uchi Tada at one point, when he materializes into the computer, and then just he like, just goes, Uchi Tada! And then just proceeds to destroy a building.
What I loved.
And that immediately ruined the episode for me.
Yeah!
Which means Dave will not watch this show at all.
What I loved more than anything, though, was when Buddy goes into the computer and becomes Servo for the first time, as he's about to go through the digital tubes. I don't know how they shot this. I guess it looked like they might have used an honest-to-God toy. Because this is him.
It's modeled figures flying through the air.
Like, there's too much starch in my suit.
And it looked like the tube he was traveling through came at him instead of him flying towards it.
To go back to what you guys said about the side characters, the sidekicks are okay. Like, we can't. I honestly can't.
Jennifer's fucking hot.
She's also like 12.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
We've reached maximum creepy factor.
Slut!
Yeah. I mean, you know, there is support.
I'm sure she's all legal now.
But my question,
I mean, hell yeah, you look at the actress who played the first Red Beetleborg. She's super hot now.
Stop calling children hot.
I'm talking about her present life version.
What Cyan Caster was talking about. Yeah, she gets arrested.
Yeah,
can you stop objectifying women for a minute?
I just lost track on what was going on. It was like, wait, what?
Did that happen multiple times during
I
the show?
See that.
Where, one of the big, like, what the hell moments was when the buddy, put your phone away, when Buddy, what was his friend's name?
Huh? Which one?
The boy. The one who looked like me.
The boy.
Tank, I think?
Sure, whatever. Tank. When he went into the tank. She sent him into the digital world. Like, wait, he can do that now too?
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't seem surprised at all.
He started riding the Zord.
Yeah, he started, like, okay, I loved when, like, the Zord, like, became big. They just used a stretch animation.
Yeah.
Because, like, wow.
Yeah. We need more money.
And he's clearly then, flying the precursor to the motherfucking Q-Rex.
And then he connected, it was the Q-Rex. And then he connected to Servo. Where did he go?
That's still in there.
You can still see shots of him in the cockpit.
And then that's where sound was like
distorting. There was a cockpit somewhere.
And that mech
and
that
the
they formed. That mech.
Could have been.
That mech combined form kind of reminded me of GoBuster Ace.
That was RX-78. I'm sorry.
No, a little too bulky for that. It's more like the Double Zeta.
Speaking of the bulkiness, though, Servo can even attack the monster by himself. Let's just add more shit to him.
Let's make him heavier and slower.
Wow. You just described Toku.
Pretty well.
You literally just described everything they've ever done.
You just described a ninja.
Let's fuck shit stack until we can do enough damage.
Two heads are better than one.
Am I right?
There.
But then,
now we have two.
This
Megazord literally is the ninja. Sorry. This literally is the ninja power-up style because it had, like, Servo's face was covered up by the face of the thing that attached to it.
Yes.
It's like Shurikenji.
I was going to say, though, like, going with our idea that this isn't an actual computer, you know, hard drive, whatever, is it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Just pops the top off the computer.
Just he eventually reaches capacity. I'm sorry, this file is too big.
I was actually hoping that there was an episode in the show where, like, he comes out, Servo comes out, and he's, like, actually in the real world. And he's like,
No.
Aw, that would have been cool.
Servo body doesn't exist outside of the...
We're working on a budget here, Lane.
Yeah.
Oh, Lane, here's
they couldn't get the suit.
Here's a twist. As they're fighting, Sam's sister comes down and starts
pressing
on the computer.
The unseen sister will never see ever?
Yes.
The same sister who dumped a fucking cream pie on his face.
Oh, yeah, cream pie all over.
Cream pie all over.
It was a milkshake.
And also, can we never say the words, the little sister that dumped a cream pie on his face again?
No, it was medicine.
We're making this It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, okay?
I'm sorry. The older friend literally walked over him, took a taste, and was like, strawberry swirl.
I was gonna say too that whole aspect like oh you never see this that is like a Disney Channel sort of character. Like, you
well,
know,
we just don't see them.
We just we only ever hear that. That sounds like something from Family Channel or Nickelodeon, where all you ever hear of this is like down the garbage chute, like sort of thing.
Oh,
you know?
Just type in on
that,
Google.
Just has that just like edge to it.
Cyber Squad's like, what's the main character's name?
Sam.
Yeah, like Sam's sister. It just shows the garbage chute.
Must be hell inside your head.
But yeah, when we finished the rest of the episode, just the sound like got really distorted, so we couldn't hear what the hell they were saying for the rest of the episode.
But I'm
we
sure it just, was important.
I'm sure it was important.
My only regret about the sound kind of like fucking up as it did was we didn't get to hear what Malcolm was saying, because I want to hear everything Malcolm is saying.
Right?
I want to watch a show for Malcolm and his interaction with Curry, because like, they're just so, ooh.
It's the odd couple.
It's like Curry walked up to his, like, it's like he's my son.
Yes, I shall call him Mini-Me.
Mini-Curry.
Mini-Mal.
Like, because they work together. And I love, and like you said, Paul, I loved how they just, like, fucking Malcolm sassed Curry. That's not easy to do.
And survive.
Although, Curry does get, I love what he calls him. Meat thing.
Can we also mention how they just casually dropped the word terrorist in the show?
This was before all that business.
Also, that they referenced Pink Floyd.
They did.
They thought I was a terrorist. You're not allowed to say the T word anymore.
That's one of the actual cases.
It's another era.
This really was. I not to get on that level, but it is like just that was when you were allowed.
It was before the twins fall down.
Anyways,
that's how you put it.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, it was cool. It's a cool show. Not the best, but it is what it is.
Probably better. Like, honestly, like, I gotta say, I kind of wish, because, like, this wasn't a Disney thing, even though it had a lot of, like, Disney aspects to it, but I gotta say, the acting was a little better than most of these kind of shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say right now, like, the parts are kind of crap. Like, the acting is crap. The costume work is all right, but it could be better, but the set design is pretty crap. The cinematography doesn't look so good neither. It looks kind of cheap. But all those crappy parts come together to form a whole that I enjoy.
Indeed.
As its full portion.
Congratulations. You just sum up every single sitcom from Disney.
Just.
I like...
Who was it that said the budget, usually instead of it being low budget, it was like a homeless person's budget?
I said as I was watching this towards the end, I was like, okay, I've seen poor man's process, this is homeless man's process.
No, but Paul, you're like, all this crap comes together, and I'm just like, all this crap came together to form an asshole.
What I want to, actually, Paul, to what you're saying, I feel like one of the things that might have held this show back was that it was based off a not too good toku. I wonder if they had, like, given this a chance with a more known... Could you imagine if this had been the Americanized version of an Ultraman?
Well, here's the thing. As much as it's easy to blame the source footage, look at RPM. It is entirely possible to turn a bad show into a good show.
Yeah, but let's be honest. We have to talk about time periods, though.
Yeah.
That's why
that excuse is doable.
It is.
O-Ranger.
Well, like I said,
Zeo was way the fuck better.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Well, Zeo's like the pinnacle.
Yeah.
I would say...
And then conversely, they took Car Ranger and turned it to Shen.
Fuck you.
Immediately thereafter.
I would say that this show is worth watching primarily, if not only, to hear Tim Curry be a cartoony villain.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the main draw.
The villains are the best aspect of this.
And if you want to share back to your childhood, of course.
Yeah.
Because all of us were in a rockin' band and kept photos of our crush on the back of our guitars.
Yeah, that was
weird.
It
was only one person.
One time.
It was the 90s, you see.
It was the 90s before I existed.
Edgy, not to mention with it being 90s, everybody totally wore clothes that looks like the set of, like, Blossom or some other, like,
yeah.
Roseanne.
I'm pretty sure even in that time period, I never actually wore
actually,
flannel.
No. Actually, Paul, I like how you put it. The lunch lady was like, if Roseanne was in a toku show.
Yes.
Just like John Goodman walks in. Dan.
Oh, God.
Hey, Roseanne.
The incomprehensible rambling Roseanne bar.
Just John Goodman. Let's samurai, guys!
Oh, dear. Oh.
That.
We had that.
Sarah!
John Goodman was in Speed Racer. That's my response to that.
Fair.
Fair. more like a ninja.
More like ninjas. God, what passes for ninjas these days?
Oh my God.
I love Speed Racer.
You would.
Well, we broke Cell. I think that's pretty much the show.
We are kind of running
the
over
North
our
has
time
fallen.
Here.
Yeah, because as we speak, the security and SWAT team are behind those doors, ready to kill us.
They want
to
kill the ship.
They're surrounding us at this very moment.
So, oh,
we do have a captive audience.
So if you guys don't mind,
literally,
we're gonna have our last hurrah. We're gonna have some go up with some good gunfire, and it's gonna be great. Can't let
and we're gonna go to Carl
Jr.
None left behind.
Oh, going to Carl Jr.'s after this.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are we still here?
Carl, let's go!
Alright, everyone watching, listening, thank you very much.
You.
As always, you can find us at castranger.com.
May the pink return.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, check out our Facebook page, and tweet at us at Ixie Studios.
But first, a round of applause for Paul for actually showing up.
Yay! For real, we'd like to thank AFKCon for having us again.
As always,
check them out next year. Come check it out. It's really nice.
Bring lots
Everyone's
of people.
Nice.
We need people.
Yes, that
we have girls now. See,
Hi.
Female.
For now,
but yeah,
females.
It's great to be at AFKCon again, and we will see you next year.
Yay!
Next,
not you, Gar.
Oh,
not you. Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.